Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spat on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' So I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was a Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they again said to the blind man, "What do you say about him, since he's opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight, until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son, who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he's of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." So, for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he's a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God, he does and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing." They answered him, "You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say we see, your guilt remains." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace to you and peace from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I know that the folk wisdom phrase is seeing is believing, and that our denomination itself contains the name of a state known as the Show Me State. But in the Gospel of John, everything is upside down. Water turns into wine. Good things do come from Nazareth. And believing is seeing. The truth is that God is at work in the world. But the way that God works in this world is through means. And his ways are often hidden. They use the sneaky left hand instead of a right hand of power and might. Because the way that God has chosen to save the world is by faith. And the works of God are manifest every day. But believing is seeing them, demanding to see them is the manifestation of unbelief. And there are two points in our gospel lesson today that I want to emphasize. The first is somewhat frightening, but I think it should ultimately be comforting. It's a statement about this world that we see. The disciples ask Jesus, "Rabbi, teacher, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Now, understand what that question reveals about what they think about God in this world. The image of God is of one who actively chucks lightning bolts at people, at sinners. They see a man born blind and assume that this must be some kind of divine punishment. Someone hides a great sin to have this happen to them. And as far as the world, it's a world of karma. What goes around comes around. You get what you deserve. Both of these ideas have to be overturned if you're going to have a crucified Messiah. If they stood, you'd have to say that Jesus sinned greatly to deserve that. If crucifixion was karma, the hidden sin has to be overwhelming. Now, to the extent that we see Christ carrying our sins, we might be able to skip right along. As the Apostle Paul would write, "God made him who had no sin to be sin." And there are modern Lutheran theologians who run exactly with that, saying outrageous things like, "Christ sinned," in order to get your attention. But in regards to Jesus himself, even Paul would say, "He was made sin for us," prefaced with that Jesus had no sin himself. The innocent was put to the cross. And if you see by the way of the world, you can't see the acts of God. You have to believe to see the Messiah on that cross. And Jesus' answer to the disciples is a direct refutation of that worldly thinking. This man, nor his parents, sinned, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. As comfortable as some type of karma belief naturally makes us feel, even though I think it should really upset us, because if we got everything we deserved, we'd all certainly have been reincarnated by flies now. Flies under the command of the Lord of the flies. Jesus' statement, if we give it a second to settle in, probably unnerves us. This man was born blind. He was on this earth for we don't know exactly how long, but at least 20-some years, as he's an adult and his parents say he's of age. And all of those years were blindness and begging. In a world long before such things as the Americans with Disabilities Act. In a world that fully accepted karma, that even the disciples of Jesus would ask, who sinned? God, to accomplish what he wanted to do, was fine with that. There are lots of things that we might ask why about. And the simple answer might be that the works of God might be displayed. And those works of God can be his proper work to justify sinners, to take our sin on that cross. They could also be the alien work of God to condemn those who will not see. But today is the day of grace. Today is the day to believe and see. Today, while Christ is in the world, and Christ is definitely in the world, we have the light. It's day. Night comes when no one can work. Now, that might originally be upsetting, but it should be comforting because of what it means if things are the way they are so that the work of God might be done. It means that God is definitely working. Whatever situation we find ourselves in, God is at work. He's not left us or abandoned us. There's no impersonal fate at work. God is at work. And it's the God who has revealed himself in Jesus Christ. The God who is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. It's the God who became sin for us, that this one has set things up for his will to be done, should be comforting, just as karma should be terribly uncomforting. Now, The second part that I want to emphasize is the opposite paths of the man born blind and the Pharisees. And we'll have a little minor point about the crowds or the family. But the path of the man born blind is this. He starts out blind. Jesus rubs some mud on his eyes and tells him to do a specific thing. And it was an act of belief, an act of faith, for the man to do what Jesus said. Look real close at the text. Jesus doesn't say anything about what he is doing. It could have been nothing more than a mean trick as far as this guy was concerned. But the man had faith that Jesus meant it for good. So I went and washed and received my sight. And that's where the man's path intersects another. He's believed. So he sees. But some of the Pharisees could not believe this man is not from God. Those Pharisees' inability to see is directly tied to their unbelief. Their unbelief brings out the witness of the man originally born blind, who says, no, he's a prophet. Because God is at work amongst us by means, through his people, and through their witness. And what you believe affects what you see. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight. Even though the man was right there in front of them, and they heard the testimony of others, they sunk further into their disbelief and could not see the act of God that was standing right there. They call his parents, and like every coerced testimony ever, they really are saying, tell us what we want to hear, that this isn't your son, or that he wasn't born blind, or something else like that. They opt out, and those parents opt out of speaking the full truth. So the man is brought back, and those Pharisees' disbelief has hardened into, we know that this man is a sinner. And the man born blind calls them on this knowledge. This is amazing. You don't know where he came from, yet he opened my eyes. And at the end of this intersection has those Pharisees, sure in their knowledge, affirm their belief in karma. You were born in utter sin. And they cast out the man who can now see. There's no greater divide than between those who were blind and can now see and those who are giving everything to see and will not believe. They have nothing to do with each other. In the final scene, Jesus is brought back. And the formerly blind man brings forth a full confession. Not just a prophet, or not just one from God, but Lord, I believe, and he worshiped. While the Pharisees are busy asserting that they see, while they are completely blind to what God is doing right in front of them. Because they do not believe. tend to think this is John's meditation or illustration of the synoptic gospel's parables of the kingdom, like the parable of the sower, or the parable of the wheat and the weeds. Belief and unbelief are both realities of this world. They grow together, if growing to opposite purposes. Some to everlasting life and some to the fire. And what we believe or disbelieve impacts how we see the work of God in this world, whether it is good or whether he's just chucking lightning bolts. It's only at the harvest, it's only at the final stage that we are completely seeing the work of God. It's only at the end that the man born blind eventually sees the Lord. The Pharisees only see a great sinner whom they put on the cross. Now, there are others in the story, the crowds and the parents. Some other neighbors respond with, "It is he." Others do not. "No, no, it's like him." Some seed falls on different types of soil. The parents may be like the weedy ground, full of cares about this life, not wanting to get tossed out. But ultimately, neither of those groups, the crowds or the parents, are fully grown. They remain the fields where it is day and work can be done. But what is sure is that there is a judgment. For judgment I came into this world. At the harvest. It's all wheat or weeds. What grows? What we have grown into is determined now. God is at work in his creation every second of every day. He is at work that those who do not see might see. The Holy Spirit has been poured out and calls all to faith. That's the proper work of God, that we would believe in his Son and live. He is at work that those who say they see may become blind. If we insist that we see the world correctly without Jesus, we eventually lose touch with basic reality. And there are so many examples of that. Just read Romans 1. I would say people become futile in their thinking. That's the alien work of God, handing over to the flies. But today, we have the light of Christ. And today, we must do the works of him who sent us. It's not night. Not yet. Because the light of Christ shines today. Amen.